You're listening to Wake Up Tucson. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. If you miss anything, KVOI.com. You can stream it at KVOI.com. If you have one of those stupid devices in your house, you can tell Alexa, play 10:30 The Voice, and you might hear a silly man with a radio show coming through the little cylinder, as we like to say. We have Joanne DiFilippo, Pima County, the naked stories of Pima County government, and Chuck Huckleberry coming up at the bottom of the hour. We have John Brakey from Audit AZ talking about election integrity stuff in the third hour. But let's go right to the coffee bar in the Capitol building.
You know, the irony is I just finished making myself because I thought I should have breakfast. So a big foamy cappuccino for breakfast.
Absolutely. So I want to start off today with questions from the crew, the Wakeys here for you. They're waiting for you in wait, okay?
Noah, is this where they're hiding in the bushes and they leap out and try to scare the crap out of you?
Yes, absolutely. Okay. So you've had your coffee. You're ready. Our friend Noah down in Sarita just wants to know about where were you on the $40 billion more to Ukraine? Doing inflation spending in another country doesn't seem to make sense.
Yeah, I was absolutely for it. And first off, it's not $40 billion for Ukraine. A bunch of that money is actually money for U.S. resupply of the things we've given to Ukraine. But, you know, once again, you got to read into the details of it. You know, so you walk through. You know, we have so many refugees. How are we paying for those? So it was money for that. It's resupply of armaments that we've either donated or provided to NATO, that NATO provided to Ukraine. So you got to pay for those. It wasn't put together the way I liked it. I would have done it. But it was funny how many news outlets said, it's $40 billion for Ukraine. No, in many ways, it was the backstop for a bunch of the stuff we've already done.
So I guess the question is, where are you on this Ukraine thing? Should we keep doing what we're doing here? What's the purpose? What's the end game? What are we doing here? We got so much things blowing up in this country right now. Mm-hmm. I mean,
well, for right now, the look, and it's dark and horrible, but the burn rate of the Russian military, you know, their tanks, their equipment, this and that. Every day this goes on, they become substantially less threatening to NATO. And there is it's a difficult argument, but you actually see it, that the fact of the matter is, with Europe, and President Trump gets a lot of credit for this, and now it's in hyperdrive, NATO finally stepping up, our European folks, you know, and putting money where their mouth is, starting to get off of the Russian hydrocarbons. It makes actually the next decade probably a lot safer for our commitments to Europe than if we were just to walk away. They're burning up their assets.
Well, let's go to Greek brother Zach. He's on the line. I think I stole his thunder, but I don't know if he has a follow-up for David. Zach, what's up? You're on with Congressman David.
Yeah, I definitely have a follow-up. So, obviously, Representative Lesko, Gosar, and Biggs voted against it. You voted for it. My question is, did you have a chance to read the bill? You probably didn't, because I know it came out pretty
quickly.
Hold on.
I'm going to let you get your answer.
One at a time. Let's go through them. We got our hands on it that morning like everyone else, but we did an all-office on it. So I know a number of offices don't have the capacity to do this. So we took it and broke it apart because it actually was broken into sections. So it wasn't actually a pretty easy read.
So you're saying you did read it. Okay, Greek Brothers Act.
Well, but remember, when we do that, when I say reading, I have 12 people sitting in a room. We're all breaking it apart.
Gotcha. Absolutely.
Correct. Okay, so while we tell the Democrats, hey, we must read the bill, just like Obamacare, you did not read the bill. Secondly, I would ask you.
Well, no. You're just back. I just told you went through it from top to bottom in the office. So, you know, either hear my words or make more crap up.
And let me ask you this: was there debate on the bill in front of the American people? Did you give me or your? You're not my representative, but did you give the opportunity to hear debate?
Yeah, the floor had an hour debate. And look, if your argument is the process sucked, you're absolutely right. But at some point, lots of things suck here with the Democrats running it. It's should we have, spent money to resupply our stocks? Should we, if we've already made the commitment that, you know, we're participating in some of the refugees, should we have actually put the money where the commitment is? I mean, at some point, just because the process sucked, you still had the obligation.
Okay, let me ask you this. What is Europe contributing to this? So Americans are suffering.
Oh, a lot.
60% of Americans. Hold on. 60.
Matt, Zach. So answer the first question. What's Europe contributing?
Actually, that was my point from the very beginning. It's, did you ever think you'd see a time where you started to see Germany offering heavy armaments? Even the Sweden offering heavy armaments. Finally, and a lot of this actually, I think even goes back to President Trump forcing NATO members to actually start to spend some money on updating their financial commitments. Much of the weaponry, but also the people. You know, the United States is taking just a tiny fraction of the, 3 million displaced, whatever the actual number is. Europe is taking those people. I'm often very skeptical of our NATO allies and their spending. In this case, they're spending.
All right. So, Zach, if you have any more, one more last question, then we got to go to break.
How much are the Ukrainian oligarchs contributing to this?
That one I can't give you an answer on.
So, all right, Zach, thanks for the questions as always. David, thanks for texting.
But as you know, we've actually, those who are Russian and some of the others, Europe has actually gone and captured their assets. Particularly, my understanding, and this is third hand from reading, I think, one of the British newspapers, is a couple of the Ukrainian, as you call them, oligarchs who had Russian ties. I think they've actually grabbed their real estate in London and are stripping it and intend to sell it to also finance the refugees.
All right, Dave, hold on for 2 seconds. We're going to do a break, and then we'll do one more segment together, okay?
All right.
Thank you, sir. Congressman David Schweikert, and you're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. Did Billy Squire ever do trip-hop? That's what I want to know. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk. You are just pounding Schweikert with Billy Squire this half hour.
Yeah,
holy cow,
that.
There's other people's birthdays today, Zach. I got Zach. Greek Zach, Brother Zach in my head. Sorry, Matt.
Well, at least it's not jazz.
Wow.
Zinga.
That escalated quickly.
Zinga. We were just playing the Joe Biden. Matt has been fascinated by this. It's a 40-second clip. Did you see him at the IBEW meeting yesterday?
I didn't.
Okay, he's wandering around here. Here we go. Oh, Billy Squire, too. You almost had it, Matt. Billy Squire and Joe Biden. They both bite me. Both senile by now. Here we go. Let's play this for. He's wandering around the station.
How could you forget? People were hurt. And what does the Democrat want to do? Forget it. Forget it.
This is him talking about people can't find food.
The United States of America. The idea that people would have to wait in line an hour and a half to get a box of food. And they're drunk.
There it is. So isn't it part of his fault that people are waiting online and driving hours for looking for baby formula, Dave?
Yeah. And he was trying to blame Trump for this?
Yes, of course. The MAGA crew.
Oh. How is that possible? I mean, how do you go from? If I remember, he's been around now for, you know, the Democrats have controlled Congress since January 2019. You know, that's when they were sworn in, so they won the 2018 election. So they've controlled the House and Senate, and now Biden's been in office since, you know, for the last 14 months. Yeah, they're just desperate to find, because they've screwed up almost everything they've touched. I mean, it's a great thought experiment. Give me a single thing in the last 14 months that has made poor people less poor, the working poor less poor, the middle class more prosperous, has made the country more secure. I mean, it's just, you know, welcome to Democrat control.
So, and again, this lack of control of the border, right? Because this fentanyl thing is a scourge.
You know, I think I sent you a couple of my videos. So, you know, I ran down to the border, what was it, a week ago Wednesday. I have some extended shirt-tail relatives that farm down there. And, you know, I mean, you go down near the dam, and you're just watching. People are just walking right by, just, you know, and Border Patrol is throwing them in their Suburbans and taking them for, you know, their transportation needs. It's just absurd.
So
and then you wonder why fentanyl prices have collapsed in Arizona. You know, it's the left's version of compassion is stunningly cruel.
So our listener, Ralph, just sent us an armed security guard at the Circle K on Ajo Highway and I-10 told me earlier this morning that 3 fentanyl overdoses had occurred in front of their store just yesterday in one day at one location.
Yep. But you know, this is the Democrats. This is how the left. Okay. If you and I were thinking like an economist, what's a second-degree effect, third-degree effect? You open up the border, you didn't think you were going to have a huge spike of homelessness. You didn't think you were going to crash the price of narcotics, because it's more than just fentanyl. Meth has also crashed in price. And then you start to wonder why it's now, you know, what used to cost $112 to get high for the day now is $12. And you're trying to figure out why the stamped pills are showing up in your elementary school.
I was also saw the same story you did with this Harvard professor. I call him Kenny Rogoff, talking about how wages aren't even close to keeping up with inflation. What's that looking like right now?
Every single day, particularly for those up in Maricopa County, which has the highest inflation in the nation, you're getting poorer. The fact that matters every single day, you know, Americans and in my district, they're getting poorer, and it's driven by inflation. But it's also there's more than just the fact the prices are going up. There's a reason now. Drive by some of our streets. Have you ever seen this many homeless?
No.
And that becomes a function of the border being open, the drugs, and then inflation squeezing out the housing prices. You know, when rents have gone just insane around us. And the fact that you have a president and Congress itself, they're panic-stricken. The left is just panic-stricken because they caused this, and they're desperate to find some way to blame someone else. Like tomorrow, you know, we were just in here trying to put together a floor presentation for tomorrow of trying to explain, here's what supply side economics look like. You know, here's what we did in 2017, 18, 19. And here's what the Democrats have done in their 15 months of absolute control. Almost all the economic good, all the prosperity, all the benefits to the working poor and the middle class that we had accomplished in the previous years have been squandered this last 15 months. They've been stripped away from men and women in this country.
One last question. This release of the draft opinion and the reaction and Schumer putting it to a vote yesterday in the Senate, doesn't this hurt Democrats more than Republicans moving into 2022?
For Democrats, I still think much of this is theater to raise money.
Yep.
There was something very dark when the story leaked, and within hours there was massive email, text messaging, fundraising campaigns going on the left side. A lot of our folks don't understand the scale that this sort of political industrial complex and how good the left is at trying to fill their coffers so they have cash to just beat the hell out of conservatives.
Well, David, it's just getting weirder and weirder out there. So when's this, when's your yes, sir.
Remember my prediction between now and Election Day, get ready for crazy. Get ready for January 6th Commission and others to leak out all sorts of information. Just get ready for crazy. Our folks need to toughen up and not get played, because even news that you think is on our side is often been infiltrated by the left.
Are they going to bring COVID back this fall for a reappearance?
Well, we'll see. I believe they'll pretty much do whatever's necessary to try to slow down the conservative movement.
Got about a minute. Doesn't the more money we send out, this $40 billion to cover the stuff, doesn't that exacerbate inflation?
No.
Why not?
No. The scale of inflation, particularly if you've spent the money and not backfilled it. And understand, $40 billion in the scale, we're talking, trillions. And for those who you do math, you need you to work through the zeros. If you have your stocks that have gone empty, you're still going to replace them. And if you're going to not appropriate to replace them, you're basically screwing yourself.
All right, amigo. Well, thanks for the half hour as always, and we'll see you next week.
All right. Bye now.
Later. U.S. Congressman David Schweikert. Joanne DeFilippo's here. She's coming back for part two of our award-winning series, Pima County Shenanigans. Wake up, Tucson, 10:30 The Voice. Another perfect choice. It's Burt Bacharach's birthday, who wrote I Say a Little Prayer, but it's so perfect for where we're going next. All right, hold on. Mark Evans, drop your kale shake. Press the record button right now.
And it's the play and the record button at the same time.
Thank you very much. Good morning to Dr. Joanne DeFilippo. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
What's your doctorate in?
Actually, it's an interdisciplinary program, which its main major was comparative culture and literary studies with minors in federal Indian law and policy, media and anthropology.
Look at you.
Yeah.
Look at you.
It was a very intensive critical theory program, actually grounded in critical race theory. That's why one of the reasons when you're looking at a lot of these issues that are occurring, whether it's locally or nationally, you look at it with critical thinking skills, and you can understand from theoretical perspectives everything that the left is saying.
Well, you're critical, but also you understand how the finance side of things work. So
you have to understand processes. And it fits in with what I focus on in my research, which is sanctioned institutional abuse.
I've never heard of the last 13 years of doing the show, sanctioned institutional abuse. That's weird.
Yeah. Well, basically what it is it's abuse perpetrated by an individual or a group.
Right.
Upon another individual or a group that uses an institution to sanction whatever activities they're trying to do. That might be illegal, illicit, etc.
Definitely unethical.
So they use the institution to get the message across.
So when you were here Monday, because I saw you, we hadn't talked in a while,
no,
right?
Correct.
Then I saw you at the call of the audience at the Pima County Board meeting, and you were talking about these 11 bonus payments from COVID money, federal COVID money, that was supposed to go to employees that were working with vulnerable populations. You were standing up for the boys and girls that might work in the Parks Department that have to clean toilets and might deal with people out there who might have COVID, druggies, whatever. They get left in the cold, but for some reason, these 11 executives got bonus payments somewhere between $5,200 and $2,500.
Correct.
All right. And then, you know, and there were some interesting people there. You know, Mark Evans, the director of communications, he got $5,200. And the one that's really fascinating was the $5,200 for the head of finance, $2,500 for the three assistants under that person.
The deputy directors of finance.
And then, for some reason, someone who's a support administrative support person, that person got
$5,200.
Which
yeah.
is weird.
Yeah.
Very weird.
You have to ask yourself, what's the distinction between somebody who got $5,200 and $2,500?
Correct.
Okay? What criteria was used to distinguish that person, the work they did, and then the amount that was paid? That's just a little side issue.
This is a big sandwich, as we say.
Yeah. Actually, you know what? I refer to it as two theories. One is the candy store effect,
right,
which is you go into a candy store on day one. You take a piece of candy. You get away with it. You go back the next day and you take two pieces of candy and you get away with it. You get to the point where you have totally eliminated any inventory from the candy store
right,
and you've still gotten away with it.
Right.
Okay. Now, why did you get away with it? Was somebody complicit in it? Did people not understand it? And that's what you look at, because what happens out of that is we start to see a social norming pattern, which is what we see at Pima County. You rule by fiat, and you keep this behavior up for so long that it becomes the social norm under which you operate.
Right. And now that Chuck's gone, it seems like there's a great weight has been lifted off a lot of employees over there.
You know, I look at it, I'm a sailor also, okay? I look at it as a ship without a rudder now.
Right.
Okay? I mean, it's floundering in a body of water. It doesn't really know which way it should go. It's trying. And I do want to say this. I've always had a good relationship with Jan Lesher. And I do want to say, the release of these documents
is refreshing.
You know, because, you know, remember, Steve Christie, like, what, maybe in the last week or 2 weeks, he wrote an op-ed. And stating that, you know, the appointment of Jan Lesher as the new county administrator is perhaps going to just be a continuation of the old system. Maybe, may not be. But I do see some changes occurring in the sense that, look at the documents that were released. I mean, I found it interesting. Two sets of data dumps on the same day, April 20th.
Yeah, she's in a weird spot, right? Because she's, at the same time, being much more open than Chuck ever was about this stuff, which is good.
Trying to be transparent.
Right. But at the same time, she's possibly part of the problem. And that's the part where I think Steve is saying, we just quickly hire her. We don't really have a contract. There's very, very weird.
A lot of issues circling in the air.
So, believe it or not, I only saw you 3 days ago.
Yes, amazing.
What's happened since our Monday discussion?
Well, okay, so let me, for maybe some of your listeners who didn't hear before.
Yeah.
Over the past year, actually I'll say the last 9 months, I've been asking the County Board of Supervisors, why did these individuals, and at the time I didn't know it was 11, I knew it was a number, but I didn't know it was 11, why did these individuals get these COVID incentive bonuses? Because they're pretty high-ranking individuals.
Yep.
Pretty much all directors or deputy directors located within county admin. And they either receive $5,200 or $2,500. And I found it just really strange because I knew there were workers in the county. I'm going to call them, for the most part, the non-salaried classified individuals making $35,000, $45,000, $50,000 a year who actually had to do a lot of work in the community, and they were called essential workers. They could not telecommute.
Right.
You can't take a Pima County park home, okay? So, and I thought,
I've seen a few of them. You don't want them.
Although, parks, I want to stand up for the parks guys. They really try
hard. It's
not
their fault.
Yeah, yeah. And the former director and deputy director, Chris Quain, and the deputy director now, Robert Padilla, are excellent, excellent county employees. Well, and it's interesting. Neither one of them received a COVID incentive bonus, okay?
Because it's supposed to be for workers that had worked with COVID vulnerable populations.
Yes, you would think. So I found something strange there. So that's why I kept bringing it up at the call to the public. Now, remember, all the time that I'm saying this, up until Chuck's accident in the latter part of October, he was sitting in the room when I brought these up. And so was Jan Lesher.
Yep.
Jan Lesher, after Chuck's accident, sat in the room, and her role changed on December 7th, 2021, when they appointed her as acting county administrator. So she's sitting there all the time listening to all of this. So I filed this public records request, and I asked for three things. One, I wanted to know what employees from county admin, human resources, and finance received COVID incentive bonus pays with the pay period ending April 24th, 2021, and I believe I extended it to July 3rd. I figured there were five periods, but I made it six just to see if there was a little carryover. I suspected these payments might go until the end of the fiscal year, which is June 30th. The second thing I asked for is, what was the criteria that was used to award these? You know, what was the basis for this? You've got to have a basis.
Right.
And there should be something in writing, because it has to trigger from whoever issued the directive to at least payroll. And payroll is a part of finance and risk management, because otherwise you cannot effectuate the payroll system to award the bonuses, right? So there had to be some kind of communication there. And the third thing that I asked for was, who approved these bonuses? Now, the response that they gave me in the number three, who approved, that was Chuck Huckleberry. Well, that's okay. We knew that. Okay. But the interesting thing is number two. When I asked, what was the criteria? The response that I received from the county was, finance and risk management has no responsive documents. Well, that's not what I asked you. I asked you what the criteria was. So when I saw the data dump that Jan Lesher did on April 20th, I was taking a look at it, and I noticed that there's an email from Michelle Campaign, the director of finance, and these are public documents. So, you know, everything I say can be substantiated by the public documents. And the email is directed to Kathy Bolin, who's the director of human resources. Now, both of these individuals received $5,200 COVID incentive bonuses. And they're talking about how to respond to public records requests. And attached to that email is a redlined document in response to, obviously, it's a reporter by the name of Nicole Ludden from the Arizona Daily Star.
Hold that thought. This is a great tease. We're going to tell you about the response to that when we come back. We're going to do two segments with Joe, and then I got John Brakey will be here, Audit Arizona. He's going to talk about what's going on with Pima County elections, the status of that, and then what's going on in other parts of the country. So he's on his way to North Carolina for their primary coming up. You're on the Wake Up Tucson show, 10:30 The Voice, local news and talk.
Norman Whitfield's birthday, he co-wrote this song.
Also perfectly, you're on the Wake Up Tucson show. Just want to get to out, Eastside Don, about this whole shortage of baby formula going on across the country. He quotes Lord Farquaad from Shrek, quote, "Some of you may starve, but that's a sacrifice I'm willing to make," unquote. Thank you very much. We're hanging out with Dr. Joanne DeFilippo, and we're talking about our follow-up discussion to our Monday discussion about 11 employees who got these COVID bonuses. But what's happened since then, Joe?
Well, I want to revisit for a second here what we were discussing.
Oh, that's
before
right.
We broke. Yeah, because it's important.
So Nicole Ludden sends in a request for information.
Yes. And so what happened attached to
she
that
she works at
email,
the Star. They're actually doing some work over there. Or Chuck.
Attached to that email is appears to be a draft document, which would be the response from the county to Nicole Ludden at the Arizona Daily Star, and it's dated April 7th, 2022. And It's redlined, meaning that this is a draft. Somebody had written something. They struck out the certain language and replaced it with other language.
Why would you do that? Why did,
well, let me read this to you and you'll see.
Okay.
So the question that she asked was, she wanted all payments Chuck Huckleberry received from Pima County from January 1, 2021 to April 5th, 2021 with the source and type of each payment listed. Very straightforward question. What happened was somebody obviously had written a response that said these documents are maintained as part of the payroll file, which would be an appropriate answer. But then somebody went and struck that language out and replaced it with human resources has no responsive documents. Well, of course, human resources wouldn't have any responsive documents because they don't deal with payroll records. Payroll does. And the reason why I bring this up is because this is exactly the type of thing that happened in my public records request. I asked where was the criteria? What was the criteria? The answer that I received from Finance and Risk Management, one of the deputy directors, was Finance and Risk Management has no responsive documents. Of course they didn't have any documents because the criteria existed in county administration. And that takes us to what has occurred since I last came here on Monday's show.
Which is,
interestingly enough, a memo from Jan Lesher to the County Board of Supervisors dated May 10th, states, the board has been asked questions about the COVID premium pay provided to some employees in central administration. Attached, please find the memorandum recommending such pay for 19 employees, not 11.
Oh.
Remember, the county responded to my public records request stating there were 11 employees. It has now increased to 19. There's a reason for that. And it says it was approved in April 2021. Okay, and attached to it is a memo. Whether it's an alleged memo or a memo, I don't know. The county will have to answer that for that, okay?
Yeah.
It's dated April 7th, 2021, and it goes from Jan Lesher to Chuck Huckleberry. It's two pages. And Jan's laying out why they believe that premium pay should be awarded to these individuals because they were, quote, needed to maintain continuity of operations of essential critical infrastructure, unquote, and that the county's response to the pandemic would not be possible if the health department were not supported by individuals within central administration services and the county administrator's office. And then on page two, Ms. Lesher lists the 19 employees, their name, which I'm not going to, their names are not the issue, okay? It lists their home department. Well, we know from the prior copy that they gave me, we know what their home department and their job titles are, as well as what they were paid. And what Lesher asked for is that she recommends that these individuals are paid in accordance with the table providing for a period of 10 weeks effective during these 5-week pay periods. And I look at this, and on page two, there's two lines, approved, disapproved. Approved line item is checked, and under that, the signature of Chuck Huckleberry dated 4/7/21. So what I found interesting is this April 7th, 2021 memo is exactly what lays out the criteria for why these premium pays were awarded. Now, that's exactly what I asked for in my public records request, but this document was not produced. Instead, what I received was a response that said, Finance and Risk Management has no responsive documents.
So they told you that this document doesn't exist, or that department doesn't have it.
Yeah.
Right?
Basically.
But at the same time, now this pops up.
And it pops up within 36 hours after I come on your show.
Correct. Now, okay. The other thing is, so the criteria is laid out in this April 7th of 2021 memo, but Chuck signs off on their approvals on April 27th of 2021.
Well, Chuck actually signed off on the approval on the same day.
That's what I'm saying.
April 2021. Yeah.
That's the part that's a little weird for me.
Yes. Yes. There is a direct correlation between this memo, the criteria, and Chuck approving. You know, somebody might want to turn around and say, "Oh, well, that was Jan's memo, not Chuck's memo." Sorry. I asked of the county at large. What was the criteria? If this memo truly did exist at that time, then this memo should have been produced as part of the public records.
But so there's two things here. Either they screwed you on your FOIA, or they created a new document. That's the only way logic would go here.
The way you would check this out is you would go to the actual document, most likely drafted in Word. You click right on the mouse, and you look at the document properties to see when it was created.
Right.
Those are historical tracking records. Okay? Now, interestingly enough, I did right-click on this PDF. Okay? And it says that this document was created at 8:52 in the morning on May 10th, and it was modified. May 10th, 2022. Okay? And it was modified at 8:58, 6 minutes later. Now, it could very well be that it was the May 10th cover letter memo.
Right,
okay?
Right. That's
so
true.
We give them the benefit of the doubt on that. But to add insult to injury on this, there are 19 people here. Now, four of these individuals I didn't ask for because I didn't even know they had been awarded bonuses. And it's three people from the IT department, who each received $5,200, as well as the director of analytics, data, and governance.
What?
Who received $5,200. What I found really interesting was the tech department ones, because I knew that those tech department people had worked with employees from the library. One of the tasks that they all did was to establish the phone bank. For, remember when people could call in and schedule help with vaccines getting registered and in the system, et cetera?
Right.
Well, I do know, and I checked it out this week because I was kind of curious. On the Pima County website is an annual report from the library. And noted within that annual report, which anybody can click on and see, you'll notice that they answered 42,000 calls from the community over a 6 to 8 week period. Yet none of those library people were given any kind of premium pay.
That didn't help with the continuity of our COVID response?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Hold that thought. We're going to take a quick call. We got a question. Let's go to Barney on line 10. Barney, what's up, buddy?
Joanne, thanks so much for your diligence. Now, I wanted an opinion from you. If we had a county attorney or an attorney general, do you think there are things in here that should be of interest to such individuals?
You can't hear Barney?
No.
Raise your volume up. All right. Do it again, Barney. Ask the question. Sorry.
Sure. First, thanks for your diligence. And then I wanted an opinion. If we had a county attorney or an attorney general, in your opinion, is there anything in here that would be or should be of interest to them?
Well, you know, one of the things that I took a look at is, and this is a question, is any of this in violation of the Arizona Revised Statutes pertaining to public law requests and the production? So I believe that is something that would and should probably go to the Arizona Attorney General. Because if, and again, I say if this were the case, I'm not going to make a legal claim about it, but if this were a violation of an Arizona revised statute, then that should be handled by the Arizona Attorney General's office.
Yeah, it was kind of a hypothetical or tongue-in-cheek question, but beyond FOIA, it seems fast and loose with taxpayer dollars.
We've never done that at Pima County. That's weird. So, Barney, have a good day. Thanks for the call. We're going to do one more segment with Dr. Joanne DiFilippo. And then John Brakey will be here talking about election stuff. Wake up.